this truth of my head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Yard Life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob and Yard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, there's a gang of crooks, hoodlums, and they're robbing people in malls, and they're dressing like nurses. This is out of Sanford, Florida. A gang of female bandits dressed in nursing costumes is stalking and targeting women and elderly shoppers at Central Florida businesses. Boy, they'll be hard to spot, I think. I don't know how we'll be able to catch them. A gang of female robbers dressed like nurses. That's just too weird. The news is too weird, folks. We have Al Gore. Al Gore, remember, says that the end is near. The end is near. He's an end-of-the-world prophet, doomsday prophet, Al Gore. And he said that we have to shrink our energy consumption, and we need to have a small carbon footprint, and he's the world's leading prophet for the end of the world. He's the number one guy, and his home in Nashville, Tennessee, he has a massive home in Tennessee, and so everybody was laughing about his energy consumption, which was massively more than the average American. So over a year ago, he invested in his home energy-efficient resources, whatever he did, so that his home would use energy more efficiently. And according to the Tennessee Center for Policy Research, in the year since Al Gore made an effort to reduce his domestic energy consumption, his electricity usage went up 10%. It went up instead of down. He uses 213,000 kilowatt hours of electricity in a year, enough to power, now get this, for an average American household. And couldn't he be an average American homeowner if he wanted to? Of course he could. He uses enough electricity to power 232 average American households for a month. That's just startling. That's startling. If it was 232 average American households for a week, it'd be dramatic. Al Gore, his home uses enough power. This is in the year after he made it green friendly. His energy consumption went up. You know, I was on Fox Channel 31 in Denver, the Fox Box, they call that segment, on Friday mornings a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about solar panels. And I pointed out that solar panels, that they don't save energy. They don't take into account the energy needed to make the solar panels. And if they actually saved energy, well, then why doesn't Xcel Energy, why don't the energy utility companies put up solar panels? Because then they would get their product for free, right? They'd get it for free and they'd sell it to all of us. So they could panel the deserts with solar panels. Just cover the deserts with solar panels and then they'd make billions of dollars from free electricity. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. But liberals are ignorant. You know, it's difficult when you deal with liberals who are ignorant. So Al Gore's energy usage has gone up. Then we have Gloucester in Massachusetts, where they have 17 pregnant girls and one apparently a small high school. And this is in Time magazine. It's on the news all over the country. And these girls were going into the nurse's office getting pregnancy tests, which right there is absurd. And when the test came back negative, they'd be discouraged. And when they came back positive, these girls would be excited and high-five one another. Because it turns out about 8 or 9 of these girls so far have admitted that they made a pact that they would all get pregnant in a year. And so the local news is lamenting the fact that these girls don't realize that it's bad to become a single mother. But they didn't say it's bad to have sex outside of marriage. No, they're saying it's bad to become a single mother. So if you have sex, just make sure you kill the baby. That's how broken our world is. In that movie, Juno, now I never saw Juno, but the local TV news reports of these 17 girls who've gotten pregnant, they say it's like that movie Juno, where they romanticize a 16-year-old becoming pregnant. And these girls are 14, 15, and 16 years old. And so that movie, you know, a lot of pro-lifers thought it was a good movie because the girl decided not to have an abortion. And of course, that's good. But the girl was a punk, and it made single motherhood, being pregnant, look cool. And everything she did, you know, I've heard reviews, was vulgar or crude, or she's a punk, but she's cool. So making it cool for the kids who watch the movie to say, hey, we could be cool too. We could get pregnant outside of wedlock and we'll be cool, like in Juno. That's a sad story out there. It is good that they're not killing their children, but it's a sad story. All right, what else is in the news? We have in Canada, a father grounded his daughter. He grounded his 12-year-old daughter because she was going on the internet and chatting in chat rooms that her father thought was unhealthy. And then she began posting pictures of herself online, pictures that her father thought were inappropriate. So her father, you know, in a liberal society, what's a parent to do? Her father thought, well, this is horrendous. So there's a school trip coming up. So because my daughter is disobeying me, I tell her she can't go on the internet, and she keeps doing it. She goes to her friend's house. She goes on the internet. She's posting pictures of herself online. I'm going to ground her from this school trip. She can't go on the school trip. So guess what the Quebec Superior Court did? Guess what they ordered? They went in and they ordered the father to allow his 12-year-old daughter to go on the school trip. It's absolutely startling. Just absolutely startling. So the father is the one who's mocked and punished by the courts, the father of a 12-year-old girl. And the father said, parents are going to be walking on eggshells. And he's right. And I pray that he's a Christian. At least he has some sense of right and wrong and morality. And I pray that he's a Christian. I just pray that he's a Christian. But these courts, could you imagine on Judgment Day what it's going to be like for them? When Jesus said, bring them here, those enemies of mine who would not obey me, and slay them before me. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. He's the rock. You know, he's the rock. And those who would not obey, that rock will grind them into powder. That's written in the New Testament about Jesus. It's about the Lord. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's in the New Testament about the Lord. Jesus said they are condemned already. If they do not believe, they are condemned already. And our goal is to warn the wicked, to warn them. So here's the Denver Post, right here. I got the Denver Post, Denver in the West, page 4B. Abortion foes. Let's see, who might that be in Colorado? Abortion foes. Oh, it's Colorado Right to Life. Abortion foes blast the Colorado Republican leader. And there was an article just like this the day before in the Denver Post this week. Colorado Right to Life says the party is headed for an embarrassing defeat this fall. And there's a neat article in here by Tim Hoover about Colorado Right to Life blasting the liberals who are running the Colorado Republican Party and saying, look, they're headed for another defeat. So you know what I want to do? I could read excerpt this article for you, but I'd rather read to you the editorial that that article is based upon. Okay, this is, let's see, this was mailed to me from Colorado Right to Life. Apparently it's going up on their website, so you'll be able to read this directly. But this is really interesting. So now let's follow this. Colorado Right to Life warns the Republican chairman of the GOP. Colorado Right to Life is warning Dick Wadhams, the state Republican Party chairman, that by shunning their pro-life conservative base, they're headed for another election defeat in November. Three election cycle catastrophes for the Colorado GOP, GOP, Republicans, and two U.S. Senate losses for Dick Wadhams. Now, how could that be? How could there be two Senate losses for Dick Wadhams? He's the campaign manager for Bob Schaefer. Bob Schaefer formerly supported life beginning at fertilization. And he did that when there was no fear of any such law being enacted. Now that it's on the ballot and it could actually become law, now he doesn't support it. So it's the former pro-life position, the former principled pro-life position of Bob Schaefer is apparently not his current position. So here's, let's go through this editorial from Colorado Right to Life to the Colorado Republican Party. Dick Wadhams banned the nation's oldest right-to-life organization from their Colorado State Convention while he welcomed a pro-abortion group. The state's top Republican is out of touch with his own party's base, where four out of five Republicans at the convention voted to defend life beginning at fertilization. The thousands of convention delegates passed all 40 resolutions that were offered. Now listen to this. So you have, what, thousands, 10,000 Republican delegates at the state convention? 40 resolutions were offered and voted on. The thousands of delegates passed all 40 resolutions except for the only one that failed, the pro-abortion resolution number 21. Only one out of 40 failed. You get that? There were resolutions about securing the border and not funding abortion, tax-funded abortion, and life begins at conception, and Planned Parenthood is the bad guy, those kind of resolutions. 40 resolutions passed. The pro-life resolutions pass overwhelmingly. The only resolution of 40 that failed was the pro-abortion one. Convention rules require literature to be approved by the party chairman. That's this Dick Wadhams. Wadhams allowed the misnamed Republican Majority for Choice, that's the name of a group, Dick Wadhams allowed the Republican Majority for Choice to distribute flyers at the convention quoting him about the Personhood Amendment 48 sponsors as, quote, on the fringe of the pro-life movement, and they do not represent by any stretch of the imagination the hundreds of thousands of pro-life Coloradoans. All right. So you get the picture, the stage is set. So this editorial, by the way, submitted by Leslie Hanks, Vice President, Colorado Right to Life, goes on. 130,000 pro-lifers signed the personhood petition. Delegates overwhelmingly passed all uncompromising pro-life resolutions, including the 78% vote affirming that life begins at conception. Now, it's better to say life begins at fertilization, but that was the terminology in the Republican resolution. 20-year-old personhood amendment sponsor Christy Burton was elected among the top 10 most popular of the 46 national delegates. How's that? Her first time running, she's in the top 10 of these thousands of delegates voting for 46 slots. She's in the top 10 most popular. And that's because she's the personhood sponsor. All right. Our phone number, by the way, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. I'm reading an editorial by Leslie Hanks, Vice President, Colorado Right to Life, which you should be able to get soon on their website. The Denver Post last week reported Dick Wadham's assessment regarding conservative leader Dr. James Dobson's refusal to support the Republican presidential candidate. And here's what the Denver Post reported, in quotes, Dobson's comments that he would not vote for the party's nominee, John McCain, won't hurt, according to Dick Wadhams. And further, that the party should, quote, avoid social issues, unquote. So here's the head of the Colorado Republican Party saying that, look, Dobson, James Dobson, who represents, what, a couple million conservative Christian, pro-life, pro-family voters who side with James Dobson in a heartbeat over these liberals like Dick Wadhams at the Colorado Republican Party. He says Dobson's refusal to vote for, to support John McCain won't hurt us, and the party should avoid social issues. How's that? Then the liberal website, ColoradoPolls.com, headlined their report about the state Republican chairman this way. According to Wadhams, Dobson is so yesterday. So that's how the liberals are paraphrasing Dick Wadhams' view of Focus on the Family. Wadhams says Dobson is so yesterday. While social issues have motivated Republicans in every presidential cycle since 1980, Dick Wadhams is more accommodating to pro-abortion lobbyists than to Dobson and pro-life voters. In sharp contrast, our own ColoradoRightToLife.org candidate questionnaire has identified many heroic leaders running for office. But Wadhams has moved U.S. Senate candidate Bob Schaefer to the liberal middle, and he's trying to drag the Colorado GOP to the left. The party's affinity for abortion supporters will be the straw that elects Democrat Mark Udall. Why would Colorado elect a pretend liberal rather than a real one? That's a good point, Leslie. And this move to the left helps explain the Rocky Mountain News report that Bob Schaefer's convention speech, you get this now? He spoke at the convention, of course. Bob Schaefer's convention speech received the loudest applause when he criticized his own party. You get that? The loudest applause came not when he criticized Obama or Hillary or the liberals, when he criticized the Republican Party. And that's the point. Colorado Right to Life is warning the Republican leadership, while there's still time, you guys are headed for defeat because you're shunning your base, and your base knows it, and they cheer loud when you criticize your own party. Now, get this. Dick Wadhams was the campaign manager for another U.S. Senate candidate in Virginia 2 years ago. Virginia's George Allen could have been reelected as a Republican U.S. Senator in 2006. And then what? The Republicans wouldn't have lost the Senate in Washington. George Allen could have been reelected as a Republican U.S. Senator in 2006, despite his infamous macaca comment. Remember his racist macaca comment to the only dark-faced guy in the crowd? It was really bad, and that's one of the reasons why he lost reelection. It was pretty horrendous. It also killed his presidential hopes, George Allen. But anyway, we'll talk about macaca on another show. With Dick Wadhams as George Allen's campaign manager, Allen had only given lip service but did not significantly support their state's marriage amendment. Salon Magazine. You know Salon Magazine? It's well known nationwide. Reported, quote, a popular sentiment that defeat came when Allen failed to make the anti-homosexual marriage amendment, which passed handily, a centerpiece of his campaign. So George Allen, under the control of Dick Wadhams, had this marriage amendment in Virginia, and he only gave it like arm's length support. Oh, yeah, I support that. And that's it. He should have been aggressively supporting the marriage amendment and became identified with it because it's good and right. He didn't do it. And so there was a popular sentiment that because Allen didn't make it a centerpiece of his campaign, that's one major reason why he lost. Just before that election in November 2006, New Jersey Supreme Court gave homosexual partners the same legal rights as heterosexual couples. So in the last desperate days of the campaign, Dick Wadhams, generally inclined to avoid social issues, hoped to hitch his candidate to the values momentum. Now I'm going to quote from the New York Times because Leslie quotes from the New York Times in her editorial. In Virginia, the New Jersey court decision could not have come at a better time for Senator George Allen, a Republican whose campaign was thrown off course. The Virginia ballot includes a proposed constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. Boy, this sounds like Colorado. The Colorado ballot includes an amendment for personhood to stop abortion. It's an issue. Now they quote Dick Wadhams. The New York Times quoted Dick Wadhams. The marriage amendment is an issue that's going to play a big role in the next 12 days. Well, guess what? It was too late. According to the Roanoke Times, less than 2 weeks away from Election Day, George Allen spent Thursday making sure voters knew he supported a proposed amendment to prohibit gay marriage. You get it? 12 days before the vote, after this thing being on the ballot for months, George Allen spends the day making sure voters know he supports marriage. Why hadn't he made that a centerpiece of his campaign months earlier? Because Dick Wadhams, who's a pro-abort, what does he say he is? He's a pro-abort. Whatever he says he is, he's a pro-abort. Because Dick Wadhams doesn't care about God, righteousness, morality. He cares about power and a lust for power and a commitment to the Republican Party, no matter how evil it is, as long as you get Republicans elected. So Dick Wadhams doesn't want to be seen as a conservative Christian supporter. So he doesn't care about the marriage amendment. So he advises George Allen, look, stay away from it. You're on record. You support it. That's enough. Don't campaign for it. Just keep your mouth shut. And so then when he's obviously going to lose, in desperation, they're supporting the marriage amendment. Well, guess what happened in Virginia? The marriage amendment won by a third of a million votes, a third of a million. It won by a third of a million, and Allen lost by 9,000. He just barely lost. If he would have identified himself with what was right for 4 months, he would have won that election. The Republicans would not have lost the Senate in Washington, D.C. So Dick Wadhams is headed for the second U.S. Senate loss consecutively because he's dissing the base, the Christian conservative base of the Republican Party. And there are a lot of voters who are saying, you know what, we're not going to be used. James Dobson said it's like being a mistress. They call us when they're lonely and they get us out to the voting booth behind the curtain in private, and then they dump us. They won't even be seen with us in public. Well, Christians might be fools, but eventually even fools catch on that they're being used. So Bob Schaefer and the Colorado GOP are headed for another loss. Let's go to Englewood, Colorado. George, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, sir.
Well, I guess you've moved on from what you had said, something you had said earlier. I hope I'm not.
No, that's all right.
Okay. Well, I have actually two questions.
Yeah.
You made me recall something you have said in the past.
All right.
the question number one is about heaven and the people that go to heaven, that they will look down, that they can see the people in hell, and it will enhance the experience of heaven.
You're thinking of someone else, George. I've never said that.
Oh, good. Okay, good. I thought I heard you say that.
Hey, there's a lot of people on the radio, you
know? Okay, now I thought it was you, and I apologize.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
And so you deny that the experience in heaven is enhanced by looking down at the suffering of people in hell.
Oh, I would never make that argument.
Okay, good, good. I thought you did. My mistake.
All right.
Okay, now the other one is, now earlier you had talked about the man who wanted to keep his daughter at home.
Yeah, grounded.
And you grounded. And somebody ruled that she should be able to go to this camp.
Yeah, in Quebec.
In Quebec.
Yeah, on a school trip.
And you said something about when somebody meets God or Jesus.
Yeah, when the courts, when these judges, these wicked judges meet God, they will be stunned when reality hits them square between the eyes.
So they should have, now this is the question I have, because I hear frequently the phrase fear of God.
Yes.
But I know the Apostles' Creed, or the Nicene Creed, and I know that God is the Father. The Father is God.
Right.
The Son is God.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is God.
Yes.
So all we should fear all three persons.
Well, yeah.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's right. The Trinity, the Godhead, is three persons in one God. And we get that from the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God, which is Elohim, plural, gods, and then a singular verb, he created the heavens and the earth. And then God said, let us make man in our image. And even the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That word there, one, in the Hebrew, is a one of plurality, like the people rose up as one man. That's the same word there. And so Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Father is God. Three persons in one God.
Normally we just hear people say, you should fear God. They don't say, you should fear Jesus. Jesus seems to be more...
nicer than God.
Yeah, nicer.
Yeah, Jesus seems nicer than God. And George, we have a pamphlet called Nicer Than God and a Bible study album on CD called Nicer Than God. And you know what? Jesus was pretty hardcore. But people selectively take some of his quotes and ignore many others.
Right. He did say that he brought a sword and I believe he was saying that he did not, that he was here to fulfill the law.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Hang on, George, okay. So we could chat. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school, Maranatha. And please check out our website at kgovkgov.com. We could use your help. God bless you.